Good evening and welcome to another edition of View from the Bleachers Radio. I am your host, Joe Aiello, and I'm joined by Josh Cornwall. Sean is off today. He is working, and so we are just flying the two of us. And we've got a really good interview later on this afternoon or this evening in the latter part of the show. We've got an interview with Brad Cook, representative from Out of the Park Developments, to talk a little bit about the new game that's come out today. And we just got done recording that, so I think it's going to be an excellent, excellent listen for you guys, so stay tuned to that. But, Josh, let's talk a little bit about the week. I think you and I were a little bit more optimistic than Sean. Sean was pretty pessimistic, and I think he was the one that was right. So let's review a little bit about the week. It started off with a rain out on the 15th on Tuesday, and then a doubleheader on Wednesday. And that doubleheader, I don't know if you watched him, but I happened to watch both games.
Thankfully, I did not watch them.
I watched both games, and I wish I would not. That's basically 6 hours of my life that I cannot get back.
Oh.
No runs scored in either game. Masahiro Tanaka just completely took us to the woodshed, and it was not pretty. I think you and I both predicted a sweep of the Yankees. There definitely was a sweep, but it just
I predicted two sweeps, a sweep of the Yankees, and then us getting swept by the Reds.
Yeah, we definitely got swept by the Yankees. We didn't sweep them. And then the Reds, I thought that series went a lot better, and I thought we really had a chance to win the series. But, again, another loss. This team now comes in here at ranked 29th in the ESPN Power Rankings that were released today, and only ahead of the Astros. And to be honest with you, I don't feel all that comfortable about that. I think the Astros might be a better team than us right now. So where do we go from here? We've got a week that features four games set beginning tonight against the Diamondbacks and then a weekend series against the Brewers in Milwaukee. Let's start with the series against the Diamondbacks. I mentioned it off air before we started that the Diamondbacks are not doing so well as a team, especially in the starting rotation. I don't know if you noticed it, but and I'm pulling up the exact number. As a team, in their starting rotation so far this year, they have an ERA of a sparkling 7.42.
Ooh.
To put that in perspective, they rank 15th in the National League. Who do you think is the 14th ranked team?
Us?
No, we're actually 10th. Because remember, we're looking at starting pitching.
The 14th ranked team in starting pitcher ERA?
Yeah.
The Marlins?
No, the Marlins are good this year. No, it's Washington Nationals. Now, remember, Arizona has an ERA of 7.42. 14th in the NL is Washington. What do you think their team ERA's starting rotation is?
Somewhere in the fours or fives.
Yep, 4.57. So it's almost a full three-run difference between Arizona and Washington. The other thing that I noticed was the run differential. You know, you don't see a huge run differential so far this early in the season. But if you look at the Diamondbacks are minus 51 in run differential right now. And for those people who have no idea what we're talking about, that means they've scored 78 runs. They've allowed 129 runs. Just ridiculous run differential. To put it in perspective, the Cubs, negative 18 in run differential. So if ever there was a team that we might be able to beat, I feel like it's the Diamondbacks. Am I wrong?
Well, even crazier is that the Diamondbacks have played two or three games more than everyone else in the league because they had those games over in Australia. So,
but what I don't understand is how that's the case because the Dodgers haven't played that many games, and the Dodgers had those two games in Australia too.
I have no clue, but they've played four games more than us.
Yeah, I don't know where those four games came from because we haven't had any rained out where we haven't played them. How have they played more games like this?
No days off.
Have they really not?
I don't know. It's just there's no other explanation for it because you think we've had 2 days off.
Yeah, I'm pulling up their schedule now, actually. That's a good point. Maybe they haven't had any days off because they had so much in between the first two. Let's see. 31st, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I don't think they've had an off day. No, they had an off day on the 17th. Other than that, no, they've only had one off day.
Oh.
You're right. So that's just yet another reason why they're ripe for the pickings. They come into the series, lost two in a row to the Dodgers, and they begin the series against the Cubs tonight. Bronson Arroyo going against Travis Wood. The other pitching matchups, Brandon McCarthy versus Jason Hamill, Wade Miley against Jeff Samardzija, and some dude named Bosslinger against our own Edwin Jackson. on Thursday.
So we have the doppelganger matchup tonight.
Yeah.
Travis Wood and Bronson Arroyo, who look like each other.
Yep. And I think we'll come out ahead in all three of those first three games. I honestly think we'll take three or four, and I think they all come in these first three games. Jackson's a little bit of a wild card, but I like our chances in this series, and I think if the bats can capitalize on the fact that this rotation's been awful, I like what we're going to see this series. Do you?
Yeah. At worst, I think we'd split.
Yeah, I think I'm predicting 3 out of 4, and if we don't get 3 out of 4 here, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I think we can do that. Now, the Milwaukee series was a little different. I'm tempted to say we're going to get swept, but we seem to play well in Milwaukee. We travel well to Milwaukee, and so I think we're going to get at least one. I'm going to go 1 in that series, so I think we're going to finish 4-3 this year, or this week.
Milwaukee.
What do you mean?
I have several fans who are friends who are Brewers fans, and they're all like, "Are they going to make the playoffs?"
They're playing out of their minds right now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're playing really good baseball. Run differential for them is only +18, which is not the best in the majors. That's ranks them 1, 2, 3, 3rd in the majors, behind Oakland, who's also playing out of their mind to start the year, which is a little surprising after they lost Jared Parker. I was a little surprised to see them start as hot as they did, but that AL West is a little bit of a crapshoot with some of the injuries that people have suffered over there. But I think we can win 3 out of 4 from the Diamondbacks and 1 out of 3 from the Brewers, so I like our chances this week. I think it's going to be a happy week in Cubland.
Imagine if they won five out of the 7 games this week and equaled their total from the first 2.5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, good luck with that. My question to you would be then, you know, I posted on Twitter probably 2-3 weeks ago, will this team finish 500 at any point during the season? Because, you know, I predicted 500 at the beginning of the year. Will we be at 500 at any point this year?
No. We're too far behind now. If you had asked me a week ago, before we went on this 2-of-7 streak or whatever we're on, 3-of-7 streak. Those 5 games in a row that we lost between the Cardinals, the Yankees, and the first game of the Red Series would just kind of kill their chances of doing that for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
there's no way to make up 7 games at this point.
Well, I think there might have been people that would have said, hey, we're not going to finish at 500 at all this year after the first loss on opening day. Because there's a guy on Twitter. I don't know if he listens to the podcast. His name is Desmond. And this guy has just been on me all day and night on Twitter over the last couple of days. And the guy is frustrated. I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with what he has to say. But, you know, if it were up to him, he sent me a tweet today. And he said, this should be the lineup card for today. First base, Rizzo. Apparently Rizzo's batting leadoff. Second base, Castro. Oh, no, he's just going around the horn here.
Okay.
Rizzo, Castro, Baez, Olt, Soler, Lake. Fill the rest in with the garbage. So apparently he doesn't really like Chris Bryant.
Or Sheerholtz.
Yeah, or Nate Sheerholtz. Well, no, he definitely doesn't like Nate Sheerholtz. He's already made that clear. He said what did he say about Sheerholtz? He did. He said why are Sheerholtz, Sweeney, and Barney on a Major League Baseball team? They have zero talent. It's embarrassing. More Seagulls and fans today. He said they should be benched for the future. Play the future now. Let them in the bigs like LeBron, Tiger, Serena, and Hingis. I tried to explain to him that LeBron, Tiger, Serena, and Hingis did not play baseball, and it was a little different in baseball.
A little different.
You know,
Serena not going to college and jumping straight to the WTA tour is a little bit different than having a call.
I said it was different, and he said it shouldn't matter. Tiger didn't hide in the minors. He already had 3 majors when he was as old as Baez. Magic already had 1 ring. And I said, you know, golf and tennis and basketball, they're just not the same. And I understand people's frustration. I don't blame them for being frustrated. I'm frustrated too. But people have got to understand that this team is going to be better. And I feel like telling people, listen, favorite my tweet, do whatever you have to do, but I think at this time next year, you're going to like your baseball team.
Yeah.
And we've just got to make it through this year. That's all. And then we're going to start to see guys like Bryant and Baez and Almora getting closer. Brian and Baez should already be here. You know, Almora should be right on the cusp. Hopefully, if Soler can get healthy, he'll be here.
Yep.
And you're just going to start to like the team that you have on the field, and you're not going to see a team filled with David Jesus and you know, people like that. Not that those are bad guys, but they're fill-ins, and we've got to understand that they're fill-ins, and we've got to understand what the overall picture is.
Well, I said this, I think it was in our first podcast. Like, we talked about the off-season moves and whether or not we liked them, and I said, look, I understand why people would be frustrated why we didn't go out and spend big money, but it doesn't make sense to spend big money when the pieces you're waiting for to come up aren't here yet. Like, free agents over the next 5 years are going to be guys to supplement the guys that we're bringing up. It's not going to be the other way around. There's no point in signing a guy like Edwin Jackson every offseason just to be a 75-win team. It just
right.
And as a Cubs fan and a Bills fan, I've had to temper my expectations in recent years because, you know, the talent's just not there right now. Now, if you had a talented team and you're doing poorly, that's completely different. But if you're trying to build through the draft, if you're trying to build through development, you can't be upset that the team's not playing well when they're young teams. I mean, what's the average age of our team this year?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not high.
No, you're exactly right. And I think people have just got to be one more year is all you have to be patient for. And I think if you watch it with that in mind, when you watch the guys that are going to be here, when you're watching a game, focus on Rizzo, focus on Castro, focus on Justin Grimm, focus on Travis Wood, focus on the guys that are going to be here in 2 years or a year, and watch them develop, and don't stress over a guy like Darwin Barney or Nate Shearholz or, you know, even Edwin Jackson, because these guys are not going to be here long term, and so don't stress over them because it's not part of the overall picture.
No, they're fill-ins. They're waiting for their double to come up and take their starting position.
Exactly. Hey, I don't know if you saw this. I'm just letting my ADD show apparently, but I don't know if this was in today's game or what, but it's the Billy Hamilton show here in Pittsburgh, or maybe this was in Cincinnati. Did you see him? He went first to third on a ground ball to the pitcher. I'm watching like an animated GIF file of it. And so he started
it must
off
be today.
It must be. He started off running on the play from first base, and the hitter hits a weak tapper to the left side of the mound, so third base side of the mound. The pitcher fields it, goes to throw it to third or to first, stops, and decides to throw it to third where Billy Hamilton's already rounded second, heading for third, and still does not even get him.
Even more impressive, they just put up a video of the very next play.
Uh huh.
And it was just a very routine ground ball to Pedro Alvarez at third base, and he scored.
Yeah, no chance. Well, and there was a play not too long ago, about a week ago, where it was a pop up just outside the infield, and he scored on a tag play. So I mean, he's got ridiculous speed. If he could only get on base, I'm sticking to my argument that I think Bonifacio is going to outsteal him this year.
He has a ton of stolen bases.
But he is ridiculously fast. Anyway, so I'm thinking I'm going on record 3-4 or 4-3 this week. You are saying, what'd you say?
I'm not going to go as far to say 5-2.
Okay.
I think actually I'm going to go with 3-4.
Okay, and we're going to log Sean's picks. We're just going to assume he's going to say 0-7.
Yeah, that sounds
because that's what right. Sean does. So. Well, let's go ahead now and get right to our interview with Brad Cook from Out of the Park Development, and hopefully everyone will enjoy that interview and look forward to playing the game. So we're joined now by Brad Cook, representative from Out of the Park Baseball, and he is here to talk a little bit about the new game that released, I believe, today. Is that right, Brad?
Yes, today, Monday, April 21st.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us. For those people who are unfamiliar with the game, we hope that by the end of this interview, you'll have a little bit more information in terms of what to expect if you buy the game and kind of what the reason for why I've played the game since back in, 2004, maybe? It's probably been about 10 years now, and I've played it every year that it's released. It's kind of like Madden for baseball for me. And so, Brad, we're glad that you can join us. I want to start a little bit with the game itself. It's a little bit different than what what the average video game fan might be expecting. It's not a – I wouldn't even call it a video game. It would. How would you describe what Out of the Park is as opposed to what, you know, a normal video game that you'd see on a console? How would you describe it?
Yeah, it's not a video game in that sense of you're, you know, hitting a button to hit the ball, or you're trying to adjust your pitch with the joystick or that kind of thing. I like to call it a baseball management game. So you're basically managing your team. You're setting your lineups, your pitching rotation, you're setting strategies. You can run your team during games as well. And, dictates strategies on the field, when to steal, when to hit and run, when to pull your pitcher, things like that. You trade players, negotiate with free agents, you draft players in June every year. The Rule 5 draft is in there as well. And then you've got your whole minor league system. So you've got, minor leagues all the way down through A-ball and the rookie leagues. And so, you got your players who move up through the system and hit the big leagues, and you can play forward, for decades. You can also play back, go back in time as far back as 1871 and, play forward through baseball history from there too.
Oh, I'm going to do that tonight. So a couple years ago, 2K Sports released the MLB Front Office Manager for, what was the best generation of, games. It was PS3 and 360 for Xbox. What is that game actually did very poorly in terms of sales. What is different about your game that would attract people to it?
Well, I haven't played that, and I don't have much experience like with the franchise mode and MLB The Show. I do know anecdotally, though, from talking to people and reading things online, that we just go so much more in depth than a lot of those games do. I mean, Marcus, who created the game, really pays a lot of attention to the sport. I mean, you can do things like set ticket prices for your team, and you've got an owner you have to deal with, and you can actually get fired if your team does poorly. You can turn that off if you want, so there's just so much you can do, and really the goal is to really just make you feel as if you've walked into a GM's office and sat down at the desk, and you've got all this information at your fingertips, all these reports, all these stats, and all this information about the players. And then, of course, you can get into the dugout during games if you want, and make decisions there as well. So, a lot of games like MLB The Show that are a video game and then also have a franchise mode, they kind of try to do, so much that they don't really focus on the franchise side as well. And that's all we do. I mean, we just focus on that. So I think that's what sets us apart, because we're always thinking of ways to really, improve that functionality. We're not so worried about all the other stuff.
Yeah. And I think to echo what you said, Brad, it is very much a franchise mode essentially. But what I like about the game, and what I think will appeal to the broad audience, is the fact that you can either go very, very in depth or very surface level. You can play out every game, you could play out every pitch, or you could simulate a whole season in just a matter of minutes. And what I think is neat about that is the fact that you don't have to, if you were to buy MLB 2K15, I think is the year that they're on. If you were to buy that game, when you pull it out of the box, I'm probably assuming that you're going to be starting a team with the major leagues. You're going to start with the Cubs, or you're going to start with the Reds or whoever. Whereas in Out of the Park, what I've found is that we were talking about this off the air, you can start a league that's the Cuban league with real Cuban rosters and just have the Cuban league. Or you could make your own league. I saw, and we'll get to this in just a little bit, but there used to be an online league, and I'm pretty sure it's probably still going, of just a whole bunch of general managers, and they had a league that was themed around Lord of the Rings. And that was all their team names were Lord of the Rings type people, and their players were that type of people. And that was the way that they did their game. Everything is customizable. And I think that that's the key with the game, is so much is customizable. And I think that's what's the biggest draw for me, is I could spend hours and hours and hours customizing my game just to exactly the way I want, which I think is really cool. Brad, tell us a little bit about some of the new features this year. I know I've had a chance to play with the game just a little bit, not nearly as much as I'd like to, But one of the features that I've noticed is, like I mentioned, real rosters on some of those international leagues, which is something new this year. Tell us a little bit more about some of the new features for 2015.
Yeah, well, with the new international leagues, we've got seven of those, and there are thousands of players among those seven. So we've got Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. Each of those also has a minor league included. And then we also have Mexico, Cuba, the Netherlands, and Italy. And again, all those, the real teams, real players, you know, real rosters, real schedules. And, as far as I know, they're real schedules. You can run a team in one of those leagues if you want. And then there's also, we've included the posting system. So just like when Tanaka came over and there was all the talk of who was going to end up with him and the Yankees signed him, the same thing can happen in the game. You know, a guy can see someone on the posting system from Japan or Korea, Taiwan, wherever, and you could try to sign him for your league. And also players can leave, like Manny Ramirez went and played in Taiwan. You can see players leave the U.S. and go play abroad. They may come back. They may not. So that's kind of a new, kind of a really cool element. And then, of course, we've got, in the U.S., we've got the 2014 opening day rosters for not only the major leagues, but all the minor league teams. You know, again, thousands of players that are all included and all rated. And so we've got that. And we've got the 3D, which we were talking about before, so support for 3D ballparks, the community. Some people have already started building some 3D ballparks, and you'll be able to import those into the game. And there's 3D in-game ball flight, so you can see the ball fly through the air, you know, into the outfield or pop up or, you know, see a ground ball to second base, things like that. And then there's a bunch of other stuff, you know, a new optional rating system, and the interface has been completely redone, and there are lots of all kinds of little league options, and there's all kinds of little stuff, like there's retired numbers now. Teams can retire numbers. The AI control teams will retire numbers, and I actually last week spent quite a bit of time and entered the retired numbers for all the teams in the majors. So if you start a 2014 season, every team will have their numbers already retired, you know, like they are in real life. And there's lots more too. There's a whole list, but you know, that's kind of the big stuff.
Yeah. One of the things that I like about the game, that you hadn't mentioned yet was the online league aspect of it. For me, for a long, long time, probably about 4 or 5 years, it took the place of fantasy baseball for me. For people that are unfamiliar with the game, what an online league is, and I think online leagues have really become very well supported with Out of the Park now. It used to be that it was a very big chore for the league commissioner to update the league and keep it going on a fresh basis. Out of the Park has really done a good job, I think, in terms of making that as easy as possible. You can download the league file right into the game, and I just think it's very, very well user friendly. But basically, the concept is you get a league that's filled with a whole bunch of human people, and they are required to submit their export of their roster for that game, for that upcoming simulation, and then the commissioner will simulate anywhere from, you know, usually a day or two or a week at a time, and then you can move forward. So I think it was really cool because we would simulate season after season after season over the course of maybe 1 year, and we'll have simulated or played out 10 seasons in real life, which was really neat. Mm-hmm. What way do you enjoy playing the game the most, Brad?
I enjoy, mostly playing solo. I haven't personally gotten too involved in online leagues. My team's a Phillies, so I like to take over the Phillies, in a modern day sim, or maybe going back in time. I like to go back in time to late 70s or early 80s and play forward through there, and do some wheeling and dealing sometimes, trade some players, let some guys walk away, sign some, you know, I had Eddie Murray playing on my team once. Another time I got into a bidding war for Randy Johnson. His price kept going up and up, and I finally nabbed him for the team. So that kind of stuff is always fun. And also with online leagues, I don't know if you've heard of our Grand Championship League.
I've not.
Which I set up. Yeah, so the Grand Championship League, what that is every This year we started it last year. We had 20 some teams last year. This year we had 26 teams. And what happened was each of 26 leagues submitted a representative to participate. It was a fictional league. I think starting next year that we may use real players and maybe do like a historical sim or something. But each of them submitted a GM who participated. And we ran through a whole season. We did a whole, a whole season, and then we had playoffs, and we had a champion, and the champion won copies of Out of the Park 15 for himself as well as everyone else in his league.
Oh, nice.
And then we also we gave away some Amazon gift cards too as well to the guys who made it to the playoffs. That was kind of fun. If people go to grandchampleague.com, they can see the blog where I wrote a lot of entries. I would do interviews with the GMs during the season, and some guys were pulling off trades here and there, and I wrote entries and kind of did quick little email interviews with them and wrote about that. So the online leagues are definitely a fun part of the game.
Well, I got to ask you too, and when you're playing as the Phillies, taking them back through the years, what do you end up doing with Ryan Sandberg?
What do I do with Ryan Sandberg?
Do you actually get any mileage out of him, or do you guys make the same mistake and trade him for Ivan DeJesus?
Yeah, when did they trade him? Was that 81 or
82?
It was 82. Yeah, you know what? I just started a replay starting 1976, so I'll have to see what I will do with him. I'm doing it on my iPad, and of course, on the iPad, real players, as long as you own the season's real players, will show up. So I'll have to decide. I've mostly actually started in 83 and played forward. So I haven't had to make a decision on him yet. I think, though, I would probably try to keep him. Wouldn't trade him for days.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, so just go ahead and keep him would be my advice to you. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about – I saw today that Out of the Park is actually going to be coming up with a new lineup of games. I know Franchise Hockey Manager is already out for people that are hockey fans. But also, I saw today or the other day that you guys are coming out with an American football version.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Beyond the Sideline Football will be out next year. It's in development now. One of the guys who worked at Sports Interactive on Football Manager is the developer for that, Francis Cole, and that will be coming out next year sometime. We'll probably go into beta in about a year, and then it'll be out sometime after that. That'll be pretty cool. That'll have probably just the current NFL setup. I don't think we won't have any historical play in the first iteration of that game, but we will have a lot of player history. I think Francis is talking about having about a decade of player history in there as well.
I've actually been playing simulation football for about 6 years now on the Dave Koch or Dave Cook, it might be.
I may need to edit that out.
Yeah. Dave Cook. It's K-O-C-H. It's in like 8 different ways. I can never pronounce it correctly. So I'm actually pretty excited. I was talking with someone. He's actually the editor for GameSided on the Sports Center fan-sided section of video games. And we were talking. I'm really excited to see what you guys do with the whole simulation, because a lot of the stat-based stuff for football has been not generic, but it's been very monotonous, I guess you would say. So I love your setup and the framework that Out of the Park has. So if it's anything similar to that, maybe I'll be making the switch. Personally, I love the online leagues that you guys have in baseball. And my good friend Kyle Tate, who's actually the AA announcer down in Mississippi for the Braves, he actually got me into Out of the Park baseball and doing online leagues. And I think the one thing that it's still great in the game, but that it's so hard to simulate, is the whole going back and forth with a live human.
Yep.
In terms of negotiating trades. It's good in the game, But I love that aspect, being able to talk back and forth and hop on Instant Messenger or hop on some other form of chat to get a deal done.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Josh. Brad, tell me a little bit about the football game. Will you guys have XFL rosters? Because I really want to play with He Hate Me.
No, we won't. Yeah, Rod Smart, huh? We won't. We won't have XFL or USFL in there, or wasn't there? There was like a World League in the 70s,
wasn't
there? I think
so.
There was a World League in the 70s, and then there was the more recent World League with that actually had teams in Europe. All that stuff will be in there eventually, I'm sure. You know, people were asking about the CFL as well. We could put the CFL in there at some point. Of course, there are a lot of rules differences
right.
with Canadian football, you know, the size of the field and other stuff. So that would be trickier. And of course, the thing like Francis has talked about with, and this doesn't apply as much to baseball, but you know, in football, they play the sport so differently. You know, the farther back in time you go, it was just, you know, a much different sport in a lot of ways. So, that's the tricky part with historical play with the NFL is, you know, if you're going to play 1940s or 50s, you know, NFL, it really has to feel like that. You know, it can't be as wide open and as it is today. But, you know, Josh, I wanted to ask you real quick, your friend who's an announcer for the Braves, is he the guy who got tossed out for playing three blind mice during a game a couple years ago?
No. Mississippi has been that team's been at the forefront of a lot of Sports Center, not top tens. They actually had their manager a couple years ago. He was the one that was throwing the rosin bags like grenades.
Like grenades.
Yeah, so they have a ton of fun down there in Mississippi. Do you have like any constant communication with people that set up leagues through your software? And the reason I ask that is because a lot of other simulators, I always like to know if leagues are doing like actual simulations of seasons, like using the actual teams, or creating their own fantasy teams per se within the same rules as Major League Baseball. I know personally I'm in a league where we did an inaugural draft and have our own team names, our own cities, all that different stuff, and run our own teams that way rather than just taking a team that's already formed. So is there a lot of, I don't know, I guess that's kind of my question, is asking if you see one or the other way.
As far as the makeup of the leagues, what kind of leagues they are?
Yeah.
What's more prevalent? I don't know. I see a pretty wide mix. I would say, cause you know, I do see a lot of people. We have a section of our forum that's devoted to online leagues. And there are some people in our beta team who play in online leagues and give Marcus a lot of feedback from that perspective. As far as the makeup, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I see some really cool fictional stuff. I mean, some people come up with some really neat ideas. You know, one thing that one fun kind of thing people like to do is kind of, you know, pretend that, you know, Americans got fed up with steroids and baseball and, you know, and a bunch of people, some wealthy people set up this alternative baseball league to compete with Major League Baseball. And so they kind of create this fictional league around that scenario. I've seen that a few times, and so sometimes I'll have real players in there as well, and in with the mix with the fictional, with the idea that some, you know, real players jumped ship and went over to this other league. That's kind of a common thing. I mean, I guess it's kind of, you know, it just occurred to me, I guess it's kind of wish fulfillment, you know, for some of this stuff with people. They want to create something that they want to see. You know, they're fed up with steroids, or they're fed up with certain things, so they can create, you know, a baseball world that fits what they'd like to see in real life, which is, you know, another thing with the game. Even if you're not playing online, you could just do it by yourself, and, you know, you can go ahead and delete Barry Bonds from the game, for example, if you really want to.
Or you could just make him like a 15-pound weakling.
Yeah, exactly. So
power five.
Exactly. So, on the 100 scale. Yeah,
I was going to say, not on the 10 scale. So, for people that don't know where to find the game, we'll have some links in the post for the show notes. But tell us a little bit about, you know, I know in the past you guys have had like a demo version of the game that you can play for X number of days. Do you guys have a demo version with 2015 version?
Not yet. There will be one in a few weeks. We always, you know, wait a few weeks after the game comes out to put out a demo. There, you can get demos of the earlier versions. I know 14 and 13 you can still get as demos from our website. Maybe 12 too. I forget. We try to offer, we try to go pretty far back as far as offering, older versions of the game. So yeah, you can get a demo. You could always, you know, if someone's curious, they could just get a demo of 14 and download it just to kind of just see how it works.
Yep. Yeah, I think once you download the demo, you're going to want the real thing, because when you start to see some of the things you can't do with the demo, you know, the simming multiple seasons and things like that, I just think it's a no-brainer. It, the price point on the game, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brad, is $39.99. Is that correct?
Yes, for Out of the Park 15, and then last year's version 14 is $19.99. But yeah, the new one's $39.99.
And then the iVersion of the game for your iPhone and iPad, do you guys have it for any other devices besides Apple's?
Not yet. No, there is an Android version in the works. I've seen it. I've seen a video of it running on a tablet that one of the developers got going. So it's in the works for Android. It'll be out later this year sometime, probably sometime in the summer.
Okay, but for those people that do have iDevices, it's I'm just pulling it up now on the iTunes Store. It's $4.99 in the iTunes Store. Seriously, if you can't afford $4.99, don't even.
I have both games.
Now I played the iVersion last year, Brad. And one of the things that I was disappointed to was because I couldn't go as in depth as I wanted. What is different? Do you have to purchase individual older seasons, or what comes with the game?
Yeah, you get three seasons for free, and I'm trying to remember. I think it's 1933, 39, and 2012, I think, are the free ones this year. Every year there's three that are free. Mm-hmm. You have to buy the rest of them. They're a buck each or 10 for $5, or you can get the whole history back to 1903 for $20. And then as you play forward, real players, assuming you own each successive season, players show up in the draft in the years that they were that they did show up.
Now, has the iVersion changed it? In last year's iVersion, all you had was a reserve roster. You didn't really have any minor league stats or minor league development per se. It was very stripped down. Is that still the case in the iVersion for this year?
Yeah, you just have that static minor league roster. Players, you know, that you draft, you develop on there.
Yeah.
Kind of abstract, do it in kind of an abstracted way. So like in OTP, they, you know, the minor leaguers, as you know, actually play games and accumulate stats, and you can see how well they're doing. And you can either have the AI move guys up and down through your minor league system in OTP or do it yourself. And then in the iOS game, yeah, you just have that static roster, and then you can, send guys down to that or bring guys up from there, to the big league club.
Yeah, it's definitely a stripped down version, but it's a great version to be able to cut your teeth on, I think, and get the idea of what sim baseball is. And then once you feel like, hey, this is for me, purchase the real game, because I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Right. I would agree with that strategy.
So for people that are looking to find the game, what is the website, and what is, you know, where can they find you guys on Twitter and on Facebook?
Yeah, so our website is ootpdevelopments.com. That's where you'll find the baseball games, the hockey game, the football game is listed there as well. And then on Twitter, we are ootpbaseball. And then on Facebook, we're facebook.com/ootpbaseball.
And who runs the Twitter account?
I do. I run Twitter and Facebook. So if you're unhappy with anything on there, it's my fault.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting a follow yet, so I don't understand.
am I not following View from the Bleachers?
No, man, no. And I even tweeted about you guys yesterday. I don't understand where the love is. Then again, maybe I should you know what, though? I'm going to go ahead and follow you guys. Maybe I should follow my own advice.
So
you have been followed, and so I expect to follow back.
I will follow you back as I talk to you if I can find it. Well, I'm always happy to follow podcasters and journalists and everyone else. I can't follow everybody, but I try to follow you guys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I got to keep my following to a minimum. But well, Brad, thanks so much for being a part of the show, and thanks for providing a review copy of the game for us. And we look forward to talking through it all year and kind of comparing how our seasons go with how the baseball season goes in real life. I know, Josh, I started my season yesterday. I simulated the first three games against the Pirates, and the Cubs in my league are 2-1. So Edwin Jackson got a win. So hopefully it's nothing but positives from there. But we look forward to updating the fans of the game all throughout the season on how we're enjoying the game and promoting it all throughout the year. And we've also got a copy to give away courtesy of Out of the Park Baseball. So be listening a little bit later in the show for that, and we'll talk a little bit about how you can receive a copy of the game. We're going to be giving that away this month as a prize. So, Brad, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And if there's anything else we can do for you guys, we'd love to do it. And thanks so much for the kindness to us.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. That's Brad Cook, Out of the Park Development's representative.